On this Tuesday morning, as we welcome in a new month, we're really pleased to bring you a brand new program on WRCO. And now today's edition of Knitting with Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. In a moment, we will start spinning some yarn after this message from our sponsor, Creative Outlet.
Nothing is better than snuggling up at the end of a long work day with your favorite yarns. With yarns of different weights, fiber contents, and in a rainbow of colors, the Creative Outlet is the place you want to visit. I welcome you to visit us on Court Street or check out the Creative Outlet Facebook page to see photos of our current yarn supplies and more detailed information on this.
Welcome to Knitting with Joanne, the program dedicated to the comprehensive discussion of fiber-based textile production using two or more needles. I am your host, Joanne Krulatz, and today we will methodically explore the nuanced world of gauge consistency and fiber elasticity in stitch formations. To begin, it is important to note that knitting is a process by which interlocking loops of yarn are constructed in a structured and predictable manner. One must select the appropriate needle size based on the prescribed yarn weight, keeping in mind that discrepancies in the selection may lead to variances in fabric density and drape. Later in the program, we will review the implications of different cast-on methods and their respective stretch capacities. For example, the long tail cast-on provides a balanced edge with moderate elasticity, while the cable cast-on produces a firmer, more defined border. A comparative analysis of these techniques will follow shortly. Stay with us for the next segment, where I will be reading aloud from the Knitter's Handbook, Revised Edition, regarding proper yarn storage conditions, including optimal humidity levels for wool preservation. This has been the Knitting Hour. Please join us again next week for a detailed discussion on purl stitch tension discrepancies in ribbed fabric constructions. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. Hopefully you enjoyed that brand new program on April 1st. It's time for the Roundup.
Rawhide. Cut them out. Ride them in. Cut them out. Ride them in rawhide.
Hey, Hank.
Hey, is this right when I knit like this? Is this the right way or no?
I have to ask Joanne. She's kind of the expert, I guess.
Where did she get that program at?
It's a new one that we started today.
Yeah, can we finish it today? Does it have to play again?
No
offense, Joanne.
It's April Fool's Day, so.
Oh yeah.
Just be careful. You might get fooled today. You just never know.
You never know. No. You never know. How is it going, buddy?
Good.
You're looking forward to your first broadcast today for the spring.
I'm going to say this.
Knock on wood.
I'm going to say this. I'm very grateful and thankful, and we schedule accordingly. There's a place with a booth, because it's going to be kind of wicked out there later today.
So. You think it will?
Oh, yeah.
Those poor umpires.
I know. Even if it doesn't rain, you have 15 to 30 mile per hour winds.
Those poor umpires. Yeah. So last night I was in Benton.
Okay. Yeah? How'd that go?
Very well. It was about a 59-minute game.
Those are the best kind.
So anyway, and then we had to do a JV game some innings afterwards, so... The sun started to go down, and I don't know if you've ever been to Benton's.
I don't think so.
It's behind the school, so it's kind of it's close by the... There's a little creek that runs through there. And then the sun hits the hill. And when that sun went down, oh, my goodness, it got cold like that. And the coach comes, she goes, I think we're done. And I said, me too.
Yeah, I think it's time.
But it was chilly. So Benton treats me well down there. Jeff Dressler and they're good people. They played East Dubuque and got beat 6-0 last night. So
okay.
One little girl about this tall, and she hit a 3-run shot, and they had those 10-foot fences. I mean, and I'm not kidding. She's this tall, and she was just a freshman.
It's all in the wrists.
Oh, my God, could that kid hit.
Snap the wrist.
It was. So
yeah.
Very.
Maybe she could go help the Brewers out, you know?
Maybe. Well, they called, who'd they call up for pitching?
Yeah, Vern Gyshert's pitching tonight.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I heard anyway.
Well, the way it sounded yesterday, I could have done better.
Well, I guarantee you that if I faced three New York Yankee batters, I would give up three home runs on three pitches.
I don't think you would.
Well, no, because
I don't think you could get across the plate.
I'd at least throw one in the dirt.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Cortez, at least throw one outside. We can, you know, make them think about it, reach for it.
Here, buddy, let's put this on a tee. And I understand. You know what? It's the big league.
They're hurt.
I get it.
They're injured. They don't have the best guys in there. But there was a stat that I saw yesterday that they have the average pitch, the average four-seam fastball. The Brewers are last in the league with, I think the average pitch speed is like 88 miles an hour. And most of them are 94, 95.
And if you think about this, though, let's go back 25 years ago. Okay, 88-mile-an-hour fastball, that was impressive.
Yep, not anymore.
No, it's
10 more miles an hour.
Yeah, without question. It's amazing what these kids get out of their arms,
mm-hmm.
or these young men. So,
but there's also a link to a lot of injuries, too.
Yeah, I can throw a heck of a changeup, Phil. I throw
about
45-mile-an-hour changeup to them.
Really?
Yep.
You going to throw me a changeup today with a quizzy poo?
I am. Let's get this rolling. You got 10 questions, buddy.
What's it on?
Well, you're going to have to figure this out. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're going to help you out here, buddy.
It's a holiday.
Well, we're going to see if it's a holiday. It's your Phil Knees holiday.
Kick me hard.
Yep, kick you hard. Here, number one, April Fool's Day originated from the transition to the Gregorian calendar in the 16th century.
Oh, okay.
You cannot look for Google.
I'm not. I'm just...
All right, number two.
Okay.
The BBC once tricked viewers into believing the spaghetti grew on trees.
It might have. Oh, all right.
Number three. Google has never participated in April Fool's Day prank.
Okay.
All right. Taco Bell, number four, where Taco Bell once announced they purchased the Liberty Bell. Number five. In the United Kingdom, April Fool's pranks can be played any time of the day.
All right.
Number six. NASA once announced they discovered life on a fictional planet as an April Fool's prank.
Okay.
Number seven. Burger King once released a left-handed Whopper as an April Fool's joke.
As opposed to a Henry Brady story. A left-handed Whopper. That's a Hank story.
Number eight, YouTube once claimed they were shutting down as April Fool's prank.
Okay.
Number nine, the BBC once convinced people that a planetary alignment would cause temporary weightlessness.
Okay.
Number 10, Mark Twain famously faked his own death on April 1st as a prank. All right, my man.
All right.
Let's see what you did.
10 questions.
10 questions.
Will I baffle them today, or will I?
You always baffle somebody, but I'm not going to go there. I have your appraisal this week ready to go.
No, you don't. Sorry.
It's just a self-evaluation.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We're all doing one on you, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that should be interesting.
And you need to be in my office after your show.
Really?
All right.
Okay.
So, anyway, April Fool's Day originated from the transition to the Gregorian calendar in the 16th century.
False.
Nope, that's true.
Oh, I figured it was.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Back on track.
Yep.
Back on track.
Back on track. No fridge hanger today.
The BBC once tricked viewers into believing the spaghetti grew on trees.
It's got to be true.
Nope, that's false.
Is it really? Yep. Oh, boy.
Yep.
That sounds like something that, would have been a good April Fool's.
Yeah. Google has never participated in April Fool's Day pranks.
That's false.
Nope, that's true.
They never have?
I never have.
I thought I've seen some things that they...
Nope. People say they have.
Oh, wow.
Taco Bell once announced they purchased the Liberty Bell.
Just call me the Brewers.
Yeah, swinging a miss.
Oh, for three.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, the Liberty Bell. I'm going to say that's true.
Nope, it's false.
Oh, I've matched the Brewers. Oh, for four.
Number five. In the United Kingdom, April Fool's pranks can be played at any time of the day.
Got to be false.
Nope, that's true.
Oh, man, I'm going down today.
What number? Six?
Six.
NASA once announced that they had discovered life on a fictional planet as an April Fool's prank.
That's true.
Nope, that's false.
God, I changed it. I had it false, well, and I changed it. Oh, man.
Why'd you put correct on that?
Because half correct.
No, it's not half correct.
All right.
All right. Well, number seven?
Yeah.
Burger King once released a left-handed Whopper as an April Fool's Day joke.
That's true.
Nope, that's false.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, it all comes from the internet. Burger King never announced
it. I thought
that.
I remember reading that.
You did read it. But Burger King never put it out there. Yeah.
I don't know. We may have to go under protest again.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. What number are we on, buddy?
Eight.
YouTube once claimed they were shutting down as an April Fool's prank.
True.
False.
What is going on here?
Ugh. Number nine. Didn't you get one
right? I haven't had one right.
Huh. Number niner?
Yeah.
The BBC once convinced people that the planetary alignment would cause temporary weightlessness.
True.
False.
I smell a skunk.
I know you won't. You got this one right, I'm pretty sure. Mark Twain famously faked his own death as April Fool's prank as a prank on April 1st.
That's false.
It's true.
Is it really?
He did it three times.
How come you said you thought I had it right?
I couldn't read that writing.
Oh, okay.
So what'd you get, buddy?
I got nothing. Well, I got Ofer.
Happy April Fool's Day.
I was going to say. Is that really my score?
No.
I was going to say.
No.
Ofer. Ofer 10. That'd be a record.
Oh, happy April Fool's Day. Yeah,
so what is my score?
I don't know.
I just wait. Oh.
Number one is wrong. You got wrong.
Number one is wrong.
Yeah, here we go. All right, number one is true. So you got the...
Man.
I'm telling you, people, you got to see his face.
I know I read the Burger King one before.
Well, you probably have.
I probably did.
But Henry twisted it.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one is actually true.
True.
And you got that
one
wrong.
So I got that wrong.
Yeah. Number two is true.
And that was what?
BBC once tricked viewers into believing the spaghetti grew on trees. That is true. So you got that one
right. I got
it
right. Okay.
So circle the number here.
Circle, okay.
Number three, Google has never participated in April Fool's Day pranks.
False?
It is false. Google is known for elaborate pranks, including Google Knows. So number four, Taco Bell once announced they purchased the Liberty Bell.
I think that's true.
It is true. Number five, in the United Kingdom, April Fool's pranks can be played at any time of the day.
False.
It is false. In the UK, pranks are traditionally only done before noon.
Oh, sure.
Mine are usually done before 7:35.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the best time.
Yeah. Number six, is that right, Phil?
Uh-huh.
NASA once announced they discovered life on a fictional planet as April Fool's prank.
True.
It is true. Number seven, Burger King once released a left-handed Whopper as an April Fool's joke.
True.
It is true.
I knew I read that.
Number eight, YouTube once claimed they were shutting down as an April Fool's Day prank.
True.
It is true. Number nine, the BBC once convinced people that a planetary alignment would cause temporary weightlessness.
True.
It is true. Number 10, Mark Twain once famously faked his own death on April Fool's as a prank.
False.
It is false. Though Mark Twain joked about his death, never faked it.
Yeah. Rumors of my death, highly whatever.
So what'd you get, buddy?
Well, I got 9. First of all, I got an 0-10. Then I got 9 of 10. So whichever one was correct.
It was 9 out of 10. Nice job. Yeah.
Boy, I was getting a complex.
You were getting mad at me.
I was like, what? No, I wasn't mad. I was just like dumbfounded. Figure I was going to have to start researching those questions later today.
You would have.
See, I would have. Absolutely.
Guarantee you people already have.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, you're
nice
welcome.
One.
Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh,
well,
sad but true.
Yeah, but
it's not a fridge hanger.
Should be, though. 0 for 10 is a
good
one. You
know, if it was really 0 for 10, it probably should have been a fridge hanger because it would have been a first. I've never had an 0
for 10. So what'd you feel like when you got 0 for 10? It was like, this guy's lying? Were you thinking I'm lying about stuff?
Or? No, I wasn't. I'm just like, you were arguing about the internet, you know, and Burger King and Google.
And it made sense to you.
Well, yeah, I think I'd read a couple of those before. I thought I had an educated guess. Oh, Hank. Oh, man.
I hope you have a great day, buddy.
Sounds good.
Hey, everybody, be kind.